Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Welcome into the Blitz live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Live and on Fan Run Radio. I'm Charlie Collier. To my left is Andy Brock. Back behind the board, Sam Beard. And if you would like to join us, I'm going to go place a live bet on Senegal right now because this Senegal...
Right at the start.
Ecuador game has just started and we decided we are all in on Senegal on today's show.
Senegal Tuesday.
Senegal Tuesday.
And this is just the appetizer before USA Tuesday.
It's Senegal Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And then it immediately becomes American Tuesday.
Big day.
It's Patriotic Tuesday here on the Blitz.
Big day.
Is it not always Patriotic Tuesday?
But today especially.
You got a good point
today
there.
Today especially.
Can we start doing that? They have Optimism Tuesdays. Can we just have Patriotism Tuesdays?
Yeah. I'm down.
We all say one thing we're thankful for.
I'm thankful for freedom.
Yeah.
I'm thankful to be able to see a woman walking in the mall and you can see more than just her face.
I'm thankful for Christian Pulisic.
I'm thankful for, who was it? The young guy that they tried to goad into giving a bad answer yesterday, and then he just gave like a beautiful answer.
Tyler Adams.
I'm thankful for Tyler Adams.
Captain America Tyler Adams.
That was wild.
The owner of England's front line, Tyler Adams.
That's right, yeah. He just manhandled Saka from England.
Yeah, he manhandled soccer.
And soccer, yeah.
Well, just, you know.
I got that joke. Good job.
Oh, man. Big Tuesday. We got, obviously, Iran and the United States.
Ooh.
2 p.m.
Tensions are high.
Very high.
Tensions are very high.
Incredibly
for this.
High.
Someone has said it's like this group has got like some of the most underlying tension of all time.
Just and then with also Wales.
USA and England and Iran England and Wales definitely had a little bit of they're going to have a little bit of tension just because of proximity. But like, yeah, Wales is kind of outlier here.
But between England and Iran and the United States, there's a lot of anger.
The World Cup is so big that's like politics does definitely just gets involved just because of how many eyes
and
are on it.
There's a story that came out this week about the 1998 Iran-United States game and the Iranian government took away the players' passports at halftime. Or like, if you
really?
Don't win this game, you can't come back.
Oh, it's serious. I mean, especially
they just,
with
they just
the stakes.
To get us kicked out of the World Cup for,
like they're
for
calling,
not putting up the right picture of their flag.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot on the line. Just like the fact that winner goes on to the next round it's a pretty big deal.
So we got that today too.
It's like the witching hour of Red Zone. We've officially hit the witching hour of the World Cup.
Well, yeah, where you got
wins becomes losses. Yeah,
wins become well, losses. What's the witching hour specifically of this witching hour of the groups though?
What do you mean?
It's the last 45 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's like the final 45 of each slate because each group's going to play at the same time.
Right, so...
Just so there's no disadvantage, so like...
Not specifically with Group A, there's not a lot of drama. There's just this game decides who moves on, but like there's not a lot of interconnected drama. But yeah, with like most groups, there's both games
it's going to come down to the...
Yeah.
And the groups are all playing at the same time. So right now we've got two matches going on. Ecuador and Senegal with the most importance... Man, got to get your eyes on it. If you're working today, keep one eye on the
if you're working
World Cup.
Today,
you're just saying this is the most important, like, in general to them or, like, to the United States. This doesn't affect us at all, right?
This doesn't affect us. I mean, I think the USA will play, the USA gets second in their group, they'll end up playing the team who wins this group, so
okay.
I think that's
we're gonna play
that's significant.
The Netherlands.
So yeah, likely it's the Netherlands. I'm pretty sure.
Right.
I might just be completely wrong on that, but I would imagine Group A plays Group B, right? Like
that would make sense.
I thought
they just drew it all again.
No. So it's like the first place team of Group A plays the runner up of Group B. So right now the USA would play the Dutch.
But
in
Ecuador
the first round
and the Netherlands.
But
are,
true.
Both yeah, have so 4 points, and they both have a plus
exactly.
two goal differential.
Yeah, exactly. So,
so even though the Netherlands
but
is
that's why
the Qatar, and we assume that they're
assume
going
that
to
that's
gonna
be a routing.
Whoop them up.
Yeah.
There's still a chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And technically, the USA could still win the group if England were to somehow lose to Wales, or if they draw with Wales and the USA destroys Iran by like more than like 6 goals.
Let's win it all.
There's a chance.
Let's win the whole thing.
Chance.
So we got that at 2, and then we get everyone angry tonight when the College Football Playoff Committee inevitably incorrectly ranks teams later on. We'll get into that to start the show a little bit later. But Andy, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Got some bagels this morning. That was nice.
Did you go to that place?
Yeah, I did.
Nice. Did you get a sandwich or did you just a bagel?
I just got a plain bagel and it was good. I put some peanut butter on it. So it felt good to get up, get at it. Just really go out of my way to get some breakfast. Was a nice accomplishment this morning. Other than that, good.
So you went and got it, yeah. Brought it back to your house and ate it?
Yeah.
And then came here. Wow, you've been up for
here.
A while.
Not too bad. I mean, like 8 o'clock.
You did all that after from 8 to...
Yeah.
You move faster in the morning than I do.
You know, it just...
I wake up at 8, then all of a sudden it's just like 9, and I've done 2 things.
I get that. No, I get that. Today we were just on it. We were feeling good.
Congratulations to all our fans, by the way. We just got some great news.
Really?
All our fan voting is done. It's wondrous when this Jalen Hyatt Blitnikoff saga, as he's now been named, a finalist.
Yes.
Let's go.
Couldn't have done it without the fans.
Couldn't have done it without
his stats box. Just weren't good enough.
No, that
know,
fan like... vote is really what pushed it over the edge. Does the fan vote have any more impact now, or like, are we done with that?
No, I was nervous there for a second. The nation's leader in receiving touchdowns is not going to make a finalist for the.
But I'm saying, like
you know,
does the fan vote? Because it's still active once we get our finalists.
I don't know.
Because I don't even know if that Washington receiver is a finalist.
You know, I didn't even know that there were fan votes for these things. In like what happens if you win the fan vote?
I think
you're automatically a finalist.
I think it counts as like one vote.
But how many like normal votes are there for like the thing? Like.
Like
a couple
I think
hundred?
Like 100 and
oh.
something.
So really it's just like, hey, let's get some clicks on this website.
I don't know how many
Maybe,
finalists there
know.
Are, but there's only 3 that have been announced on their site so far. Xavier Hutchinson of Ohio State, Marvin Harrison Jr. of Ohio State, and then Jalen Hyatt.
So the 3 that announced, 2 are on the same team.
No, Iowa State, well, Xavier
Iowa
Hutchinson.
State, Ohio
oh,
State.
Okay. I thought you said Ohio State twice. That'd gotcha. Okay. Marvin Harrison Jr. is good.
He's yeah,
very good.
Very good.
Hasn't he like dropped 0 passes?
He hasn't dropped a single pass this year.
He dropped 1 during that game. They
oh,
really?
Jinxed
him.
Dang. They threw up the graphic and then he ruined
he
it.
He actually he had like 99 targets where he didn't drop a pass, and then on the 100th target, he dropped it.
I'm telling you right
They're
now,
some chances.
Senegal looks good.
It's cooking.
Oh, Senegal looks
Senegal
good.
Senegal came ready to play.
I think they've had like 5
Senegal
shots in 12
minutes.
Senegal
looks good.
My boy's in...
not messing around.
And green, yellow, and red are tearing it up.
I love their uniforms, too.
I love their fans. They cut to their fans.
Yeah, their fans are
like
partying right now.
And those look like my kind of people.
Have you seen... You need to look up Senegal warming up before games because they're just dancing. It's not like normal. Yeah, look at their fans. Fans are going crazy. I mean, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
They are feeling it.
Should be watching this if you're not.
Hey, look how boring those fans are.
I don't know. The Ecuadorian fans did chant, "We want Cervezas" the first day.
This is just
fun too.
A very cool matchup then.
I'm all like, I want to go to Senegal now.
Yeah?
Is that East Coast, West Coast?
Of Africa?
South?
East Coast of Africa. Northeast. You know, it's kind of like right below the Arabian Peninsula.
The Arabian Peninsula? Wow, you're pulling out all kinds of things on me.
Yeah.
What is the Arabian Peninsula?
Where Saudi Arabia is, where this World Cup is, like that whole thing. Like right beside the Red Sea and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking for Senegal. Sam, how are you today?
Man, I'm doing pretty good.
Never mind. I lied.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not...
I woke up pretty cold
this
morning.
I was thinking of Somalia, never mind. Senegal is completely on the west coast.
Yeah, it's it's like right above Gambia.
Yeah, it's completely on the opposite side.
You were so wrong.
I was so wrong.
Were you familiar with the location?
I was thinking of
Gambia,
Somalia.
I was. I know my west coast pretty well, just not my east coast.
I was thinking of Somalia. Senegal is actually very west coast.
It's actually, I believe, probably the closest to North and South America, like the Americas.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it looks like it. Either them or maybe... I'm going to go with Senegal, probably. They just got a little point just close enough.
I apologize to any Senegal listeners out there. For not knowing where exactly
your
country was.
Do you think at some point in our station's history we've had someone listen in Senegal?
Maybe. If not on the live aspect of it, maybe on the podcast.
Right?
Yeah. I'd love to see a flow chart of the worldwide
listenership. I've seen it somewhere. It's interesting. Sam, you good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm doing good.
Good. You ready for America to win?
Yeah, I'm very excited for this game, actually.
Andy, are you fully prepared to explain to us why we're going to win as our World Cup correspondent at the end of the hour?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I need an X's and O's reason why.
You need an X's and O's.
We're coming to you.
Okay, yeah, no.
It's our official World
Cup
correspondent.
I've got all the knowledge, yeah.
All right, well...
Clearly. Cool. Clearly, I know my geography.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're off and rolling. We'll dive into the playoff conversation on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Back here on the Blitz. Again, we are we have the Senegal and Ecuador game on in the studio. Started at 10, so it'll just be going on throughout this entire show. We are full Team Senegal if you guys would like to join us. But with that being said, hey, I want to remind you, make the switch to White Claw. Ditch that beer belly bloat. White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted with quality ingredients, is made from a gluten-free alcohol base with a hint of fruit flavor and some seltzer water. Available in many deliciously refreshing flavors. Only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol. As always, please drink responsibly. And again, make the switch to White Claw Hard Seltzer. 10:20 here on this Tuesday. And I guess what, in about 9 hours or so, we'll be getting the college football playoff rankings revealed. Well, I feel like there's not a ton of drama surrounding the top four, right? I mean, we all kind of agree it'll be Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC. Does anyone really think that, you know, that gets swapped around at all? Like, could Michigan maybe jump Georgia? Like, could USC jump TCU?
No. I think that you have it right. I think the real thing that you're wondering is what you do with USC and Ohio State. I think clearly it should be USC at 4 and then Ohio State at 5, just because I feel like you make the statement now to say if USC wins the Pac-12, like they can control their destiny by winning the Pac-12, and it makes it an easier deal. You know, if they lose, then Ohio State's in. So I feel like the way you said it is probably how it should read tonight. I mean, I don't see any way Ohio State's above USC at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any way that USC is above Ohio State. I think the real drama, obviously, is what happens 5, 6, 7. I think that's probably the most intriguing thing that comes out of tonight, and really 5 through about 10, because you have the 11-1 Ohio State, and then you have, you know, a 2-loss Alabama, a 2-loss Tennessee, a 2-loss Penn State, a 2-loss Washington, a 2-loss Clemson, all right there. And then, you know, following that group of teams, you have a bunch of teams at 9-3. And all those teams have kind of played each other to some extent. But do we all kind of feel like it's going to be Alabama ahead of Tennessee at this point? Does anyone think that it's going to be any other scenario?
No, because I mean, Alabama was already ahead of Tennessee in the last ranking, and what's been different from last week. Nothing really. So I don't see any reason why that they do at this point. I don't know. I mean, do you see a reason where they would? Aside from just like, you know, looking at the resumes and everything, and the fact that Tennessee beat Alabama, but
I mean, there's no reason that Tennessee should be behind Alabama.
My only thing is that, I mean, Tennessee beat Alabama, so in that logic, you would think that they should be above Alabama. But I guess if you stack up the losses, Tennessee has worse losses.
Like, why did we get to this point with the college football playoffs with like resumes in general, where I feel like losses are the number one thing? Like, it's like, okay, well, this team has some really good losses. Well, who have they beat? Well, you know, have you seen their losses? Well, you know, this team won head-to-head.
Because Alabama doesn't have the wins that Tennessee does.
If you really want to compare these two teams, yeah, they both have two losses. Yeah, South Carolina's a worse loss than Tennessee, a worse loss than LSU. You know, sure, that's fine, but when you compare the wins, it's not even close. When you compare against similar opponents, it's not even close. When you compare, you know, against just the top 25 in general, it's not even close. There's no real reason for Tennessee to be ahead of Alabama. Like, I don't know how you can, I mean, for Alabama to be ahead of Tennessee, like, I don't really know how you can possibly justify having the Tide in front of it. And I think it highlights a couple problems that we have right now with the committee. First of all, I think it's just a general inconsistency in how you view teams, as we're currently witnessing. But again, I think that we've made losses the most important thing, and that should be the third most important thing. Like, I think it should be how have these teams, what games have these teams won? If you're still looking pretty similar at that point, you know, then have these teams played each other? What's the head to head? Tennessee has the better wins. Tennessee has the head-to-head. And I mean, yeah, like Alabama's one of their two losses also just got worse. LSU just got smoked by A&M. Meanwhile, our bad loss is now going to be at least a ranked loss. I understand that it was still, you know, lopsided in that contest, but I just don't, like, the only argument to me is just, oh, they're Alabama. And I guess, like, too, there's the argument of no Hendon Hooker. Clearly that has some sort of impact, as now Tennessee's getting, you know, judged on Joe Milton as their starting quarterback rather than Hendon Hooker. But I don't think that should be the case either. Like, yeah, maybe that should be the case for the playoffs. But once you get past that, I mean, are we going to judge Ohio State on C.J. Stroud more than likely opting out of the Rose Bowl? Like, are we going to judge some of these other teams that have opt-outs? No, I mean, the fact is, like, if you're outside of the playoffs, a lot of these teams aren't going to have some of their best players anyway. So for Tennessee to get punished because Hendon Hooker's not in there, to me that also doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, can you help explain to me why Alabama should be ahead of Tennessee?
No. I mean, like, I in terms of what the committee is looking for, Tennessee has outmatched Alabama in all it's five criteria that they use, and you know, Tennessee should clearly be ranked above Alabama according to all those criteria. But I just, you know, I don't think it's going to happen.
I think it really comes down to just because Tennessee lost later in the season, and then that's just like how I guess they do the rankings. They move people back when they lose. I feel like you justify these losses by like, oh, they lost here and they were at five, we got to move them back to nine. And then, oh wait, Alabama was at seven, now they're just somehow above them just because they didn't lose this week. And that's just kind of how it works. And then for some reason that, you know, you just don't ruffle the feathers because they were behind them in this ranking. And it's like, then you got
to bingo, Andy. Yeah. That right there was going to be the final flaw of the committee that I was going to bring up. It feels like you get the first wave of rankings, the first college football playoff rankings that come, whatever it is, like the first Tuesday in November. And I get that it adds drama, it adds intrigue, you know, it kind of gives you a look at where teams are. But I think the biggest issue is from that point on, you know, that's kind of what we judge teams off of. It's like we kind of forget about everything that happened prior to that. It's like, okay, well, this is where they were, and now, you know, this is where they are here in this first ranking, and now everything that happens from then on out is what have you done since that first ranking, since we got this baseline, and then we'll base everything off of that initial baseline and what happens since. And Tennessee's two biggest wins, Alabama and LSU, both happened prior to that. And then obviously, you know, Tennessee suffered their loss, and I feel like they're getting punished for that loss because, you know, it's okay, we got our initial order, and then we were resetting things from there. But they're not still getting the credit that they deserve that, you know, they should for Alabama or for LSU. And if either of those two wins would have come later on, though South Carolina loss, you know, if that South Carolina loss would have come prior, there's no doubt in my mind that Tennessee would be ahead of Alabama, would be six. You know, I think if that was the case, you'd even have people arguing that Tennessee should be the number five team in the country, which they shouldn't, but you'd have people arguing that.
If that South Carolina loss was like 14 points instead of 25, I think you'd probably be ahead of Alabama, honestly. I feel like just like the blowout loss on the road just like became such a turnoff for the committee after, you know, after we've established such a good resume already before that game. I don't know. It seems, you can understand it, but it still seems a little unfair.
The committee's going to mess it up tonight. And I know I said, I've said on the show like 3 weeks ago, oh, the committee's gotten it right every year. That was just to preface that too. That's in relation to
top four,
the top four specifically, because they mess up 5 through 25 all the time, and they're going to do it again here.
I feel like they, you know, they see the top four clearly as the most important part, and the rest right. Just like, oh, we're just going to chalk it.
And also, I mean,
and at the same time, I guess, you know, it really comes down to just, oh, this is between the Sugar Bowl and the Orange Bowl, so it really is in a way just, you know, picking at straws because both are great bowl games.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, to me, it's like you deserve to be in the Sugar Bowl, though. Like, but that's what you rightfully.
How have we deemed the Sugar Bowl to be better than the Orange Bowl, though? They're both great.
I mean, I don't know if we're deeming it to be both better the same. Necessarily. I think we're just we're deeming it that
just like because you should at this point be the second highest team in the SEC. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it's more. So
I get that,
like,
but at the same time, it's like. Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, to me, it's like, hey, both are pretty cool. I'm happy with either. Honestly, I know it'd be a bitter point to be below Alabama, but like, hey, a New Year's Six Bowl, Miami or New Orleans, Sugar Orange Bowl, that's pretty cool.
You said you'd rather go to Miami?
I'd probably rather go to the Orange Bowl. Just in terms of like the projections, like I think it'd be more fun to play Clemson in the Orange Bowl. Two teams that lost to South Carolina, Orange versus Orange in the Orange Bowl. That's kind of cool. I don't know about Kansas about State. That. I mean, I think Kansas State in the Sugar Bowl gives you a better chance maybe of winning. I don't know. Also, will Kansas State be there after the Big 12 championship game? Are they in the Big 12? Who's in the Big 12? Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the Big 12 championship game. I mean, it would be the highest rated
Non-playoff
Big 12 team, and TCU is a lock for the playoffs, right? I mean,
yeah.
Even if they lose, we assume they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, but if Kansas State loses...
If Kansas State smacks TCU, does that change anything?
No. TCU's in.
Like, could you feel comfortable putting a team in the playoffs coming off of, like, say, like a 28-point loss?
So what happened to Georgia last year?
Was it that big of a loss?
It's a pretty big loss.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like Georgia was also significantly safer throughout the course
of
the year.
Yeah, just because they were undefeated in the SEC, and that I feel like that carries more weight than other conferences. But they did get beat pretty good. They got beat 41-24 by Alabama last year.
Like, if TCU got smacked around, yeah, they'd still probably be
they'd
in.
Probably
they'd
still be in.
They'd probably still be in. I mean, I don't think they wouldn't, but...
Now, what if like Michigan somehow got tossed by Purdue? That might be different because Purdue is unranked and they're not very good, you know?
Purdue just puts 35 on Michigan's head.
That's so interesting because, I mean, Michigan has one of the better wins of the year beating Ohio State on the road.
What if they just also, all, like, what if all four of these teams just get 20-pieced?
Georgia gets beat, TCU gets beat, and Michigan gets beat. And USC.
And
gets
USC.
Beat.
USC gets
and Tennessee
yeah.
somehow ends up in the playoff.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think like, oh, well, something weird happened.
Everyone lost.
Everyone
so
stay the same. Yeah, everyone don't move.
No, everyone stay
put. I mean, Ohio State would get to come back. But other than that, man, lost my train of thought now. Kansas State, yes. Let's see. I mean, Kansas State's like 13th in the AP poll. You assume they'll be in a similar spot. And the next highest ranked Big 12 team is Texas.
I'm all in for the Orange Bowl now.
I don't know. It's still I mean, yeah, I think the Orange Bowl would be a better bowl. I just still think that I'd rather be in the Sugar Bowl just because that feels like your rightful bowl. You were the second best team in the SEC. The best team got to go to the college football playoffs. You deserve to go to the Sugar Bowl, not Alabama. Like, I guess that's just the biggest thing. It's more of like a stubborn.
I know, but I get it, yeah. But just who was just like, hey, yeah, the second highest ranked team in the SEC gets to go to the Sugar Bowl, and then the third gets to go to Orange. To me, they're both significant of importance, so I guess it really is just like, yeah, stubbornness thing.
It's just, why did we throw, I just keep coming back to like, why did we throw logic out the window and just decide that losses are the most important thing? Like, I've seen people arguing, well, you know, Penn State, right? Hey, they're only two losses. They were to, two of the best teams in the country. They lost to Michigan and they lost to Ohio State. You know, they should be above Tennessee. Like, they should be in the top six. They should be in the top seven. And it's just like, yeah, Penn State, cool. Your two losses were to two really good teams. You also got smacked by both of them. I mean, that Ohio State game was closer for a while, but, I mean, on the scoreboard, you got smacked by both of them. And Penn State's best win is, like, lucking into a week one comeback against an unranked Purdue. I just don't understand how you can make the argument that that team should be in just because their losses are good. And if that's the case, let's just start playing the top five teams in the country in the non-conference so we can just make sure we got our best losses right there for us. Our resume is set up for come this time of the year. It's just this whole losses thing is driving me insane. Like Alabama, who's their best win? Are we an Ole Miss
Texas.
Team? An Ole Miss team that went 8-4? Is it lucking into a win against a 1-point victory against an 8-4 Texas?
That they would have lost if their starter never went down, probably, that game.
Right, like, which one of those two is Alabama's best win? Oh, but, their losses came by a combined 4 points on the road. Yeah, who have they won? What have they done? What have they done other than keep games close when they played the best two teams on their schedule?
They won the Iron Bowl.
Because I can tell you what Tennessee did. They went into Death Valley, and they smacked around that same LSU team that Alabama couldn't beat. Smacked them around. What else has Tennessee done? Oh, they beat that same Alabama team. It just it irks me to no end that there's no one on ESPN right now either. There's no one on Fox. There's no one on CBS when they're having these conversations that is using logic. There's no one that's like pointing this out. That wait, why is Alabama ahead of Tennessee? It's just, oh, it's the Alabama A, so we'll stick them right there. That's where Alabama deserves. That's their rightful spot. Well, you know, they're coached by Nick Saban. Their quarterback's Bryce Young, so, oh, they deserve to be there. Alabama doesn't deserve to be ahead of Tennessee. Alabama doesn't deserve to be ahead of Washington at this point. It just makes no sense. It really makes no sense at all. I mean, that Washington team, honestly, like, hey, their losses are, a top 15 UCLA team, and they got upset by Arizona State, but, like, they've beaten ranked teams. They have good wins. Like, why are they not in higher consideration? Is it because they're Washington? Like, it's just, they're gonna get it wrong tonight, and it's going to be incredibly frustrating. But
what would you rather have here? Here's the layout. It's the Orange Bowl would be Friday, December 30th. It doesn't have an exact time yet, but it's either 7:30 or 8 p.m. at night on Friday, December 30th, or you play in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans at noon on December 31st. Noon. A noon Sugar Bowl? When has that ever happened? On New Year's Eve?
Feels like a good time to have it.
At noon?
Yeah.
I'd rather play a night game in the Orange Bowl. Just saying.
As long as we don't end up in the Cotton Bowl.
I don't think that'll happen.
Could you imagine the disaster of ending up in the Cotton Bowl and having to play UCF?
What scenario would that happen, though? Like, well, we'd have to somehow lose one when we don't have another game.
No, I mean,
or like if they put LSU above you somehow, if they beat Georgia,
maybe like Washington wins. I don't know.
No. Right?
Because if Washington wins the Pac-12, then they go to the Rose Bowl.
Oh no! If Purdue wins, then Purdue goes to the Rose Bowl, and then Ohio State would probably be in the Orange Bowl.
Right. Yeah. Or yeah, just somebody right there.
Well, then you go to the Cotton Bowl. Well, all right. Well, I guess we're Michigan fans this week.
I don't want to be a Michigan fan.
Well, if Purdue wins,
I forgot they're playing Purdue. I despise Purdue more than any other school, really. So
Purdue basketball on the rise again. Zach Edey.
Zach Edey just 7-4. Zach Edey.
Did we let him go to just Purdue? Like,
what is Purdue doing? Where are they finding them?
This guy was like number 400 in his class like 2 years ago, and he was 7-4. How did no one say, oh, this guy's 7-4, he could be really good?
Well, Purdue did.
Purdue clearly did, and now he's the best player in college basketball right now.
I think that Matt Painter has people in every major metropolitan area in America that just has regions that they cover, and they're supposed to just give him a phone call if they see a tall
kid. It can't be that hard. He's 7-4.
Like he decided.
How is 7-4 coming out?
He's 7-4.
He has lookouts all over the country, and it's just Matt gets a phone call. Hey, I'm in Peoria right now. I was at a local high school. I don't even know if he plays basketball, but he's 17.
Here is Zach's scholarship. Zach Edey. He went to IMG.
Don't even need to. Lock him up.
He went to IMG?
He went to IMG. Like, how more, like, in the spotlight do you get?
Can you see his
offer? There's no way he was 7'4".
He was 7'3" here on his...
Just 7'3".
Yeah. 285, 3-star.
Well, see, 7'3 doesn't really project well to the next
level. Here were his school interests. Purdue... Baylor, two good ones. Minnesota, Tulane, and Western Kentucky. That's it.
Wow. He makes a lot of sense on Minnesota, I feel like.
He's a Big Ten guy for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's a Big Ten guy. No way around it.
Shout out to Jay Rohn. Just tweeted us. He's been to Senegal multiple times.
Awesome.
Next time you go, you need to listen to some Fox Sports Knoxville just so we can make sure that we're worldwide like that. We'll catch a break. Transition over to the big news in college football on the other side. Stay with us on the Blitz. Stumping and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more. Oh, here we go. Coming back from the break here on the Blitz just in time. Senegal about to attempt a penalty kick after getting fouled here by Ecuador in the box.
Coach did not look confident there.
By the way, Big Orange Philly phone lines are open, 865-546-8200 if you want to get on with us.
If anyone can
make any kind of compelling argument for why Tennessee should actually be behind Alabama, I would love to hear it. But here we go. I don't know who this is, but Senegal's lined up for the PK. What do you think, Andy? Left, right?
Play-by-play, Andy. Here.
You got to go right. You got to go upper right.
Upper right?
Upper right.
I think I'm sending this dead middle.
Dead middle. That's risky.
It's risky, but very risky. Sometimes you got to take risks. All right.
The keeper looks a little bit nervous, too.
It's a small keeper, too.
I go low.
You go low.
Senegal.
I like a low shot.
Come on, Senegal.
Normally, they end up being low.
Here we go.
Go right.
Oh! No! Vamos. Let's go, Senegal!
That's big.
Senegal!
Man, FIFA World Cup. Doesn't get much better than that.
I wish so badly that we had the volume on for this thing. I want to hear whatever music is getting played right now.
Oh, yeah, look at them go.
Look at these fans.
The fans are out in droves.
I really love these Senegal uniforms. I might buy one. Like I wish
they are cool.
I wish the United States did that exact same thing where they did like a red, white, and blue cuff on the sleeves. I kind of want to go to Senegal
now. Man, can we go?
Yeah, let's just do a group. Let's do a live show from Senegal. Yeah.
I don't know why we couldn't.
Yeah, why not?
Money. So big news out of college football yesterday, Mr. Hugh Freeze has been hired to be the next coach of the Auburn Tigers. Kind of funny, included in his contract, he has to give up full control of his social media. Some calling this a risky hire. You know, some have called this a damning hire for Auburn, depending on your feelings about Hugh Freeze. Obviously, we know what his background is. Involved heavily in one of the biggest pay-for-play scandals that has been investigated in recent history by the NCAA. When he was at Ole Miss, obviously also when his phone records went public, people found out that, well, when he was down in Florida, he used his school phone to call and presumably arrange meetings with escorts on, I believe it was either 11 or 13 different occasions. Even so much as recently, he DM'd a university or Liberty University student that is currently involved in a lawsuit against like Ian McCaw, who is the chancellor or was the chancellor at Liberty, and that whole university. There's an ongoing lawsuit about the cover-up of sexual assault, and Hugh Freeze DM'd one of the girls unprompted and told him that she didn't know Ian McCaw and that he was one of the most Jesus-like leaders he'd ever had. So hence him getting his social media taken away. He's had a tendency to DM some people that maybe he shouldn't have and get a little angry on there. But in the meantime, between all of this, he's been doing a very good job as the head coach at Liberty. This year specifically, he at one point had Liberty ranked. He had them beating Arkansas. He has dealt with, I think, having to have like three different quarterbacks at this point as well because of all the different injuries. And he's navigated that really well. Unquestionably a very good football coach. Questionably, you know, the questionable aspect is how do you feel about him being, I guess, the face of your program and a leader in your program. Andy, rate this hire on a give this hire a letter grade for me.
C.
A C.
C, just in terms of, yeah, he's a good football coach. Maybe a C+. I'll give him a plus because he's a good football coach. But, I mean, it's just like, it just goes so far against what I felt like Auburn should have done here and what I feel like, you know, programs who have, you know, been really good and are going through a low point, maybe a little bit of controversy with them, you know, a lot of years now of different buyouts. You had the whole scandal this past February with Brian Harsin and a lot of drama. Your whole athletic department had seemingly a lot of drama. You go through a new athletic director now. And what do? You bring in a guy with a lot of drama to him. It just seems like another, like, I don't know. It just seems like another very risky move for a program who's already had to go from one buyout to the next buyout and clearly is not content. Maybe it's just because they know that, hey, Hugh Freeze, this is your last chance. Like, if you don't win, then, like, we can just dump you. And, like, you know, I don't know really what. Clearly, the move is just to win football games, and it's not in terms of just, hey, whatever backlash comes our way, we don't really care.
I just think, like, okay, so what has Hugh Freeze done? He's paid players. Well, it's not like he can get in trouble for that again because it's legal now. What else has he done? He's used the school phone to allegedly hire some escorts.
That's not good.
Not good. Don't think he's going to do it again.
You don't think?
I mean, I think it would be rather unlikely for him to do that again. Or at least,
I mean, are we just like taking his word on it?
Doing it again? I don't know. I mean,
if Auburn wants him gone, maybe it'll.
surely you've learned your lesson a little bit there. Like, I don't think there's some like great risk that he goes and hires escorts again. Now, I think maybe the biggest risk was like him getting himself in trouble on social media. Well
have you
he's
seen
now relinquished? That's what I'm saying. He's relinquished control. And that's to just that.
Like, at, it just is, it concerns me. It concerns me greatly when you have to have a contract clause relinquishing your social media accounts.
It's ironic when
you can hire a guy.
Yeah, you can give a guy millions of dollars to lead an entire football program that is, you know, worth hundreds of millions of dollars, but you also can't trust this same adult to operate a free social media app for other adults.
You're clearly worried about things, and you're hiring PR people to like smooth this over. The only thing that's going to smooth things over is if he wins games, but even at that,
Cadillac around is big. I don't know if you saw the transcript from his post-game Iron Bowl speech, but it had me like misty-eyed as a guy that just likes sports in general, like not even an Auburn fan, a Cadillac fan, whatever else.
Yeah.
That's a great guy to keep around. Sam, what grade do you give this hire?
I think it's a solid like B minus, B plus-ish. I think it's going to end up working out for Auburn, honestly.
It might work out in terms of wins, but like at what cost?
The cost of
turmoil at some point, maybe down the road.
Honestly, Andy,
do we know that's going to be turmoil though?
I think it's just playing with fire.
In my opinion, it's playing with fire. When you hire like Lane Kiffin, you're playing with fire. Like Lane Kiffin was going to go to Auburn if he was offered that job. 100%.
I don't think he was going to. I think that's why they had to pivot to Hugh Freeze.
I think he was offered that job.
No. I think he would have if they had gone that
direction. I think they did offer him that job. And I think he basically, like, last minute decided he wanted to stay at Ole Miss.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I think Hugh Freeze was definitely the backup plan. Or at least plan B. I think Lane Kiffin was plan A. I give this hire like an A. I mean, you went and hired a guy that's been nothing but successful. I think, you said you're running the risk. You're playing with fire, running the risk. Like, I think there's, I mean, like less than a 15% chance that something happens scandalous when Hugh Freeze's time at Auburn, at least significant. But I think that there's probably like a 75% chance, if not greater, that he's going to win football games. That's a risk that I would take all day. At the end of the day, that's a risk that I would always that I would definitely be willing to take, because you look at him in his entire career, he's won football games. You know you're going to get an exciting offense, something that Auburn hasn't really had since they had Cam Newton. You're going to get a guy that recruits well. You're going to get a guy that, again, just kind of wins. And you're getting a guy that has beaten Saban too, which I think is big. Because not a lot of people have. You know, that's a really tough person to beat. And, you know, maybe Kirby Smart's slowly becoming the new Nick Saban in that regard. But
I
think that this is going to lead to a lot of success for Auburn football. I think they nailed this hire, honestly. I get that there are other factors here. But I don't think he's going to go hire more hookers. Like, I don't think he's going to go pay more players.
I think
he's just going to go win some football games.
My thing is just
he'll
like
just do a couple like weird Hugh Freeze things. In
the fact
meantime,
that
in
Auburn like almost fired Brian Harsin in February for doing scandalous things.
Turns out Brian Harsin wasn't actually doing scandalous.
No,
things.
He was just not a good coach.
They were just trying find a way to
Auburn
run
is
out
acting
of town.
In a very, very weird way with this whole thing. They're acting in a very sneaky way with this whole thing, and I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the best way to do it. But, you know, if it works.
They said, hey, how can we find a way to get Brian Harsin out of here? He's not taking the NIL money we want him to. Like, he's not running the program the way we want him to. Okay, well, he brought his little side chick, basically, from Boise State. Let's run him out of town for this. But it was just, like, an open relationship. Like, they're okay with that, you know, kind of thing. And you couldn't really get him in trouble for that. But, like, I don't think they actually had a problem with what Brian Harsin was doing in relation to that. I think that they just were looking for any kind of way to get him out of town. Ran a little overboard there. We're a little behind, but we got 2 minutes, Andy. Floor is yours.
I get 2 minutes?
Is that not enough?
No, that's enough.
I can give you more.
That's too much.
Are we going right now?
Right now, our world. I turn things over to our World Cup correspondent Andy Brock. You tell me.
We have like a new sound on here.
Yeah, we have all that break. It's Blitz sound drops. Sam, come on. Get it together. Give me the long one.
Dun, dun,
waiting on you.
For it. Dun, dun,
dun, Blitz dun, sound dun, drops. Dun, no, dun, nothing.
Dun, nothing.
Nothing. Bow, bow, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Monday, November 28th, in the group stage, Cameroon and Serbia. They tied 3-3 in what was one of the more high-scoring the tournament games up to this point. Cameroon had one nice little goal where they like flipped it over the goalkeeper. A little comeback, a little draw. Cameroon and Serbia, their hopes still stay alive. South Korea and Ghana, right afterwards, another little thriller. South Korea came charging back. Ghana at the death, at the buzzer, as you might say, gets the win over South Korea. Hyung Min Son, South Korean legend, was visibly in tears after the game. This league, that's how much it means to them. Next game, Brazil, Switzerland, no Neymar, no matter. Casemiro, in the 83rd minute, gives Brazil another ticket to the knockout stages. I think this is what they're like. 14th consecutive time going to the knockout round. Brazil is a tank. Switzerland, no match. And then in the final game yesterday, Portugal and Uruguay, Cristiano Ronaldo thought he had a goal, thought it skimmed off the top of his head. He argued that it was his goal, but it was in terms of his teammate. I don't know why he's caring about his stats at this point in his career. But Portugal wins 2-0. Bruno Fernandes, 2 goals, little brace. Portugal rolling Uruguay, they've got some work to do. Portugal's into the round of 16. And then today, you just saw Senegal up 1-0. If they win, they're in. The Dutch, they have a lead over Qatar. It's Cody Gakpo, rising star for PSV. He's been a piece this tournament. And then the U.S. plays later today. How about that?
I thought we were going to U.S. Iran preview.
Oh, you want that now, too?
When else
I had, you said I had 2 minutes. I was trying to recap everything.
No,
there,
you did a wonderful
minutes.
Job, but I do want... you know what?
We had 2 minutes.
All right, well, now third down, you just have to explain why we're going to beat Iran.
Okay.
You have to preview that matchup because someone
sounds
needs
good.
To.
Okay.
Hour one done. Hour two on deck. Stay with us in the Blitz.